So when a believer comes to me and may say, we sit down, we talk together, and that person may say, you know, God seems to be so far from me right now. I can't seem to reach him. Well, then I will say, does that bother you?
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, certainly there are some who are feeling that way today. So why do you respond? Does that bother you?
Well, in order to bring encouragement, because the only reason that it would bother a person that God feels far away is that they genuinely have the love of God in their heart. A person who's not Christ's, who's not a believer, doesn't care that God is far away. The further away he is, the better. But if it bothers you that God seems to be far from you, that is the greatest evidence that the Spirit of God lives in your heart, and precisely is the evidence that he's right there with you. This is a great irony. But actually, the times when God seems far away in a believer's life can be one of the most fruitful times. We're going to see that in the message today, and I really hope that it's going to be God's means of bringing encouragement to someone listening today, and you're feeling, oh, God seems far from me. Well, actually, he's nearer to you than you think.
Well, with that, let's get into today's message, When God Seems Far Away. Here's Pastor Colin.
The queen has retired to her private room. She has fallen asleep, and she starts to dream about the love of her life. I slept, but my heart was awake. And now in the dream, she hears the sound of knocking on the door. Verse 2, my beloved is knocking. The king has come to her private quarters in this dream. And try and picture this now. His hair is dripping from the rain that is evidently pouring down outside. And he stands knocking at the door. Open to me, my love. Let me in. It's like something out of a movie, you know, when the guy's hair is just sort of absolutely soaked and the rain's pouring down outside. And there he is standing and he's knocking at the door. Now, what is she to do? Because she feels that she's not prepared. But it's a dream, and she's in a fluster. And then you know how it is with dreams. They sort of change direction, as this one does on at least a couple of occasions. She doesn't move, but then in verse 4, she suddenly has a change of heart. My beloved put his hand to the latch, and my heart was thrilled within me. This is highly charged stuff, folks, I'm telling you. Verse 5, I arose to open to my beloved. So now she gets up, she puts on her dressing gown. Notice she rubs a quick splash of myrrh on her hands. So, just coming, dear, I'm going to be there in just a moment, just getting my hands sorted out with the myrrh here. And then comes the shock moment in the dream. When she finally gets to the door, the loved one isn't there. I opened verse 6 to my beloved, but my beloved had turned and gone. And then the dream, it seems, turns into a nightmare. The watchmen found me as they went about the city. They beat me, they bruised me, they took away my veil. Those watchmen of the walls. Now, I can imagine her at this moment just sitting up bolt upright in bed saying, oh, I'm so glad it was only a dream. But you know, when you have a very, very vivid dream, it stays with you. And you find yourself looking back on it because you know it came out of some recess in your mind or your heart, and you say, what was that all about? Why was I dreaming that? What's its significance for me? And indeed, because God saw fit to put this in the scripture, we're obviously going to be asking the question today as this part of the Bible is open before us. Well, now, what are we to learn from this? And what is God saying to us through this lady's dream? And I want to suggest that we learn here two things about ourselves and then two very important things about God. The first thing that we learn about ourselves is how selfish we really are. Surely this is the first thing that the bride would have taken from her dream. Wakes up the following morning, and the question obviously is, would I really have left the king that I profess to love standing in the rain because it didn't suit me to get up and open the door? Am I really that selfish? I love this king, and yet I would have found it difficult to do that for him. Is that really me? Am I really so self-absorbed? Am I really so convenience-oriented that I would behave in such a way towards the king that I profess to love? The reality is that among us who love Christ, even our love for Christ is shot through with self-absorption, our own convenience, what we want him to go on and go on and go on and go on doing for us. And how difficult when it seems inconvenient when he calls upon us and calls us to something that we are to do for him, how slow we are in our nature to respond even to the king that we love. We've come to see Jesus Christ as a means to an end, to give us what we want in our lives. And the people of God love him, but our love is shot through too much with our own selfishness, our own convenience, what we want, how we want our lives to be. And the bride surely would have wakened up the following morning and say, am I really that selfish? You read the story of a king who knocks on the door to speak to his bride. What Christian could read that without thinking about Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, where you remember the King of Kings knocks on the door of the church, the bride of Christ, to the church of Laodicea, write, to my bride, write this, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Here's Christ outside the door of his own church, knocking on the door. And here are all of these people inside whose lives are very full, and they love him, but they're not responsive to him. They say, if you read the passage there, they say, we don't really need anything. Don't call us, we'll call you. If we need something, we'll come and we'll ask. Christ says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Surely that is taken directly from the book of Song of Solomon that's open before us right here. Here's the first thing that we learn, and I've tried to take this into myself this week and to say, now, this is where this passage of Scripture needs to search my heart. I love Christ, but I know that it's shot through with all kinds of selfishness and my own convenience and all the rest of it. I want to love him better than that. I really do. And the Scripture is given as a kind of mirror that we may be drawn in a fresh way to love him in a way that is more like the way in which he has first loved us. And then I think there must have been this reminder to the bride of just how vulnerable she really was, particularly the latter part of that dream speaks of the absolute dependence that we have on God. She sees herself going out into the streets and without the protection of the king. Where is she? I have to take this into my heart that I cannot sustain faith in Christ as a Christian believer apart from him. I cannot sustain ministry from Christ apart from him. The hymn that says, I need you every hour, really gets this. And you know, if we believed that, we would be more responsive to Christ than we are, and we would walk with Jesus Christ more closely than we do. I can't do this on my own. Apart from my King, I am weak and vulnerable and helpless. I need thee every hour. And that is why Christ says to us, you must abide in me and I will abide in you, because apart from me, you can do nothing.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called When God Seems Far Away. Now, we're going to pause right here, but we'll get back to this message in just a moment. By the way, if you ever miss a broadcast, you can always come and listen at our website. It's openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is able to be on this station because of your generosity. We truly are a listener-supported ministry. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to say thank you by sending you Pastor Colin's audio series, The Lord is My Shepherd. And Colin, why did you choose to preach on Psalm 23 now?
Well, you know, I'm convinced that one of the best things that a pastor can do is to encourage God's people, and especially at a time when many of God's people are feeling jaded and spent and flat and discouraged. And I think many listening to us, Steve, will know what that is like. These are not easy days. Yeah. And what do we need to do in difficult days? Well, we need to look up to who Jesus Christ is and all that is ours in him. And the 23rd Psalm for 3,000 years has been a means of God encouraging his people. So if you're discouraged today, Psalm 23 is for you.
Well, we want to send you a copy of the series, The Lord is My Shepherd, as our way of saying thank you for your financial support this month. You can give a gift online at openthebible.org or call us at 1-877-673-6365. The website again is openthebible.org and the phone number is 877-OPEN-365. Well, if you joined us a little bit late, we're in the book of Song of Solomon. We're in chapter 5, so grab a Bible, meet us there as we continue the message. Again, here is Pastor Colin.
And here's what we learn about God, and this is very, very important. Again, just two things. Number one, God sometimes hides himself even from the people he loves. That's a very important thing to know about God, that he does sometimes hide himself even from the people he loves. Obviously, that comes right out of the scripture here where the king is hidden and the bride who loves him cannot find him. He loves her, but for some reason he's hidden and it's never quite fully explained. But it's pointing to a reality that is stated most clearly in the Bible by Isaiah the prophet. Isaiah 45 and verse 15, Isaiah says, "Truly you are a God who hides himself." And it's very important to know this is part of a Christian's experience, that you may come to places where you try to pray and you feel you're not getting anywhere, and it feels that God is far from you, and it's as if he's hidden his face from you. Job said on one occasion, "Oh, that I knew where to find him." And Job was the most righteous man at that time on the face of the earth. God said that. So here's a righteous man, and he says, I wish I knew where to find God. It just seems that he's so distant from me right now. Can't get through to him. So if that should happen to you, you should say, well, now this is not an unusual thing. It seems that God's hiding in some way from me. Truly, you are a God who hides himself. David said, "My tears have been my food day and night, while they said to me all day long, where is your God?" Now, when God hides himself, as he does, one of two things will happen. Either you will become very, very distressed, like David, or Job, or the bride here in the Song of Solomon, or you'll just let it go. And I think it is very, very striking here that when the bride comes to the door and finds that he is gone, she does not, having opened the door, say, "Oh, he's not there. Too bad for him. I'm off to bed." Why does she not say that? Because she loves him. Oh, that love may be shot through with way too much selfishness, but she loves him. That's why she goes and she seeks him, and she cannot rest until she finds him. And that's the distinguishing mark of a true believer. The very distress that a believer has when it seems that God is distant is evidence of the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart. That is something that is not known to someone who doesn't love Christ, or a person who has never received the Holy Spirit. they may say, oh yes, I believe in God. They may say a prayer in times of need and all the rest of it. But because they do not love God, there is not this sense of needing the nearness of God that a believer experiences when God seems far away. The problem of the felt absence of God is only a problem to those who really love him. And so when a believer comes to me and may say, we sit down, we talk together, and that person may say, you know, God seems to be so far from me right now. I can't seem to reach him. Well, then I will say, does that bother you? Does that bother you? And the person will say, oh boy, it bothers me. It really bothers me. And then I'll say, well, that says something wonderful about you. Because what that says is that the Holy Spirit lives in you. It wouldn't bother you at all if that were not the case. The Holy Spirit lives in you. That's why it bothers you when God has hidden his face for you for this time. And therefore, because the Spirit lives in you, actually God is much nearer to you even than you feel. And then the last thing that I want you to notice here today, and it's very wonderful, is that God can use these times when he seems far away to ignite a whole new spiritual passion in your life. And my prayer for this week and has been particularly that for someone here who feels, you know, I've really been struggling just to pray and it feels God so far away and I need him most right now. And this is exactly the experience that you're going through. My prayer is that this will be the introduction to something very fresh, something very wonderful, and something abundantly fruitful that he's going to do in you and that he's going to do through you. Think about this. What would have been the outcome of this dream? Think about this journey that the woman has been through in her dream. She's seen herself complacent and unresponsive, loving the king and yet way too absorbed with her own convenience and her own self. And she has experienced the shock of what it would be if the king was not there for her. Without him, without my king, I'd be lost. I'd be so vulnerable. I couldn't stand if it was not for him, if I was without him. And suddenly she wakes up. Oh, so glad that was only a dream. Now, suppose 5 minutes after she wakes up, she actually hears a knock on the door. And she actually hears the voice of the king say, "Open up, my love." Do you think for 1 minute that she is going to say, oh, I've just wakened up and I've still got sleep in my eyes and I've had a very bad dream. I really can't come and open the door. Do you think for 1 minute that she'd say that after that dream? What do you think? No. Not a chance. She's going to run to that door and she's going to fling her arms around him and she's going to say, I don't think I have ever told you before how much I love you. Isn't that what she's going to do? Because she's got a new grasp of the value of the king. She's got a new sense of what it is to love the king. And that's why I'm saying to you from this scripture that God can use times when he seems so far away to ignite a new spiritual passion in your life. Ask God for that if that's where you are right now. The experience of going through what it feels like when God seems to be far from you may turn out to be a turning point in your life. It was for her. We're going to look, God willing, next week at how the two of them are now pictured in chapter 6 together. And she says, I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. And there they are. And there's no holding back. And there's a new level of beauty in her relationship with the king. Isn't that what you want in your walk with Christ? Done with this selfishness that's always wanting the next thing that he's going to do for me and so slow to be responsive to anything that he asks of me. We're coming around the Lord's table today. And I want you to remember this when you think about God hiding his face. Jesus knew about that. And it was on the day that God hid his face that he did his greatest, greatest work. For all eternity, the Father loving the Son, delighting in the Son loving the Father, delighting in the Father, then the Son comes into the world, and then we have the cross. And Christ stands in our place, and he bears our sins. And what happens? Darkness covers the land, and God turns his face away. And Jesus cries out in a loud voice, "Oh my God, why have you forsaken me?" And it was there that God accomplished his greatest work. Doesn't that stagger you? The day he turned his face away was the day he redeemed the world.
What a helpful reminder today that God can use those times where he seems far away to actually ignite a new spiritual passion in your life. And if he seems far from you right now, I hope that today's message has done that. It's drawn you to God. Maybe this message is one you want to go back and listen to again, or you'd like to pass along to a friend, a family member, someone you know who's really feeling distant from God right now. We can actually order a copy of this message on CD, or even better, the series it comes from, Loving and Being Loved by Christ. You can find out more about that when you visit our website, openthebible.org, or call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365, or again, our website is openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported ministry. That's exactly what it sounds like. We're able to be on this station because of your generosity, and as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to send you an audio series of Psalm 23. It's called The Lord is My Shepherd, and Colin, as you were working on this series, was there maybe something you hadn't really seen before?
Well, I think Psalm 23 is clearly addressed to Christian believers. It's describing wonderfully all that is ours in Christ. When you're wholly owned by the Son of God and you're able to say, "The Lord is my shepherd." But what was very striking to me coming to this again is that it actually speaks very powerfully to the person who says, "Well, I don't want to be wholly owned by the Son of God. I want to run my own life. You know, I want to be the captain of my own ship and the master of my own soul and all of that." And what this psalm says to this person is, look what could be yours. The blessings that could be yours in Jesus Christ. You could have a life that is led. You could be a person who, when you are down, is picked up and restored. You could be someone who is guarded and protected, someone who is fed and nourished, someone who is loved forever. What's not to love about that? Think what could be yours. So I hope that there will be two effects from these messages in this series that we're focused on this month. The first will be to encourage those who believe, look at all that is yours in Christ. And the second will be to entice the person who does not yet believe, look at what could be yours if you were to come to know the Lord as your own shepherd.
Well, we want to send you a copy of this audio series, The Lord is My Shepherd, is our way of saying thanks for your support. You can find out more or give a gift online when you come to openthebible.org or call us at 1-877-673-6365. That's 1-877-OPEN-365. Or our website again is openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program's a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. God is love, and we're made in His image. So then, what went wrong? Find out next time on Open the Bible.